On today's episode of The Good Word, Gary Washburn joins me to discuss putting the Lakers to bed. Anthony Edwards just did that. And we look at the Lakers' prospects for the future, along with Golden State and Houston. Should Golden State be weary of blowing a 3-1 lead? The Celtics present, and the Phoenix Suns making another hire in the front office. All that and much more coming up right now. Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. A bit of business before we get into the show today. We are, of course, on YouTube, so don't forget to rate, review, subscribe to us there, as well as everywhere else you consume your audio podcast. I am back home in Detroit for Game 6 of Pistons Knicks. I was in LA yesterday for Timberwolves Lakers Game 5, where the Lakers got put out. So I'm bringing on LA native, Inglewood native, my man Gary Washburn from the Boston Globe. G covers the Celtics. What's going on, G?
What up, Vinny? I mean, it's the biggest basketball game in Detroit in, I don't know, man.
17 years.
Yeah, so at 2008.
Man. At least.
I can imagine how the city is just kind of, I mean, man. I know they were wildly disappointed the other day with the non-call of the foul, but man, all the Gators, I know the Gator shops, the Gator all sold out. I know Detroit's going to show its finest because this could be the last game of the season. They got to come out tonight.
Gary, let's just say that everybody is coming out. That means the indict me cam is coming out tonight in full effect. You know about the indict me cam, Gary, the don't let me catch your ass out in the parking lot cam, where you decide to show your jewelry and tell the feds where to come find you. Cool. That's gonna be happening in Detroit tonight. Gee, I want to start with what I witnessed last night at crypto.com. The Lakers went down in 5 to Minnesota. On paper, it looks like an upset. When you started looking at the series, when you started zooming out, it really didn't feel like it. Especially the Timberwolves played, Gary, as Looney Tunes of a game on offense as I've ever seen them play. You missed 43-point shots, and you still win to what I felt was pretty damn comfortably. Like, do you want to start with Timberwolves or you want to start with Lakers?
Well, the Timberwolves, I mean, I just think this is a team that's underachieved all year. Mm. I mean, they have talent. We've seen it. Obviously, the Ant-Man. Then you got guys, the steady guy, Mike Conley. You've got the 4-time Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert. And as much as he's maligned and probably one of the more maligned players that's going right to the Hall of Fame as can be, probably since Dwight Howard, who's going in this year, he's still an all-star caliber player. Then you got guys like McDaniels, Nickeil Alexander-Walker. Then you got the dog, Julius Randle.
What do you think of Julius Randle? No, because I was waiting on that. What do you... Because my opinion of Julius Randle, I can stand up and say, man, this is the best series I've ever seen Julius Randle play as far as being under control, as far as using his strength, as far as being efficient, hitting open shots, not trying to do too much, but actually taking the game over when you need to take the game over. I didn't know that he had this in him. From a talent standpoint, yeah, but from a basketball playing standpoint, I didn't think he had it.
Yeah, and it took him a while to get comfortable in Minnesota. Remember, like, the first couple of months, it just didn't look good at all. And it was like, oh, this is a mistake, and how could you trade Cat for this guy? And, you know, this is why Randle's bounced around the league with New Orleans and the Lakers and then New York. And, you know, but I just think he's – I mean, obviously, you know, he's got the talent. He's a strong dude. He don't back down. He's got game. It's just finding that niche, and I just think he's found that niche as that number two guy behind Ant-Man, and I think Ant-Man's might have taken a step back at times and let Randle kind of go to work. Mm-hmm. And Randle, you know, has become a better passer, a better team player, not all about me. And I'm not saying he was a selfish player, but he was just one of those, when you got the ball, you gave him the ball, you just stood back and watched him work and spin and turn and try to take that left-handed fade away or get to the rack. So I just think he has obviously blossomed in this system. You got to give credit to Chris Finch for finding a spot for him. Remember, DiVincenzo was very bitter about the trade, and just it seemed like he didn't really want to be in Minnesota, and now he's adjusted. And I said, Vinny, I just think this is the – I picked Minnesota before the season to go to the finals. And I'm not saying, oh, I'm right. I'm right now because they underachieved all year. I mean, they were just one of those teams. It's like, what is wrong with this team? You got Naz Reid coming off the bench. You got guys who can hoop. And you guys are going, you know, you guys are 46-36. Or why did the sixth seed? But I just, this was not an upset. They had too much athleticism, mm-hmm. and they got some veteran presence with Conley. They got the talent. And the Lakers, I mean, we all know. I mean, Luka's still got to get in that premium shape. LeBron, we love him in terms of his endurance, but he's still 40. Right. And then you got a bunch of guys who, you know, you got a bunch of lottery picks and guys who just never developed, the Hachimuras and guys who are nice pieces, but not championship players.
Look, I want to start with the Ant-Man because he is piling up a, shall we say, impressive list of legends that he has taken down. Kevin Durant. Nikola Jokic, LeBron James, and Luka Doncic, and up next it could be Stephen Curry. Like, Gary, I have a hard time, and this is just me off the top of my head, I have a hard time thinking of, in a two-year span, a player who's had a better collection of bodies that he's taken down. Like, Hakeem Olajuwon in the two-year span, he took down.
Vinny, you're slipping. What about Isaiah Thomas?
We're going to go there. Relax. I'm going in chronological order back.
The Celtics, and then MJ, and then Kareem, Magic, Worthy, and Byron Scott. So, yeah, Mr. Lord Thomas would like. I think he's texting right now.
He might be. He actually might be. His birthday was yesterday, so we had some fun back and forth with him and Michael Wilbon. But let's go to Zeke. Zeke, in a 2-year span, took down Jordan twice, took down Magic, took down Bird, took down Patrick Ewing, and it was the end of Abdul-Jabbar. It was Byron Scott. It was Worthy. Like, taking down all those stars as the one lone superstar on a team. Took down a young Reggie Miller in that span, too. Like, it's hard to find a more impressive, like, what happened with Ant doing it to KD last year kind of put us all on notice. And then what he did with Nikola Jokic, it's not just him, but he's the catalyst of all that. The fact that Gary... he doesn't scare. The game doesn't look too big for him. He straps it up on the other end of the floor. He was guarding LeBron. He was guarding Luka. And they had nothing for him. Gary, he don't want to be the face of the league.
No, he doesn't.
Too bad. Too bad. Yeah. You're the guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's turning into that guy. And I think, unfortunately for Ant-Man, the game... is beyond, like, the game has advanced farther than his maturity. So, like, there's still a level of maturity he needs to have to be on cereal boxes and to be that guy. Like, you want to be like Mike, you gotta carry yourself like Mike. There's certain things Ant-Man's done, and I hope he's getting better, and I hope everything is cleared up with all the stuff off the floor.
There you go.
He is. In terms of his build, in terms of his basketball IQ, in terms of his intelligence, in terms of his toughness, being a dog, he checks all the boxes, and he doesn't back down. And I think he felt like going into the series, I'm the best MF on the floor. I don't care about no Luka, and I don't care about no. I definitely ain't caring about no LeBron. I might have cared about LeBron 10 years ago, you know, when he was 13. You know, Ant-Man was, what, 13 then? He's 23 now?
Right. He ain't worried about that dude at all.
Yeah, he worried about Heat LeBron. He ain't worried about Laker LeBron.
LeBron. This Grandpa LeBron to him.
Yeah, exactly. Much respect. I think he showed LeBron respect, but then again, he was just like, LeBron, I'm going to have to take you out too. I mean, I'm sorry, my guy. You my guy. I had your poster. I played you on 2K. I had your basketball. I got your rookie card at the house. But nah, man, like, I'm going to have to step over you too.
You got to go.
So you got to admire that. you got to admire his get on my back, boys. I'm going to take us to the promised land. And I don't know how far Minnesota will go. They might win the next round. They might be Golden State or Houston. I would think they'd be favorite. I don't know about Houston. Houston's kind of
they'd be favored in both series, I would think.
You think so? Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
I would think so.
And then all of a sudden, you got a probably a potential head showdown with SGA and the boys in Oklahoma, and that'll be worth watching. But you got to give Ant-Man his credit. Like, people have, you know, when we saw Kevin Garnett for years try to make it work in Minnesota, you know, put the team on his back. And they got veterans. They got Sprewell. They got Cassell, and they got guy, and they went to one conference finals, and then that was it. Like, and then Garnett said, "I can't do it here. It's not happening." And then you got to give Ant-Man credit for trying to make it work in Minnesota. And I just think he's going to get with the new ownership now. Mm-hmm. With A-Rod and those guys, they're going to get the backing. And I think even trading Cat, because I think we're seeing in New York the good side of Cat and not the not so good side of Cat. How poor they are on defense with Cat on the floor, how good they are on offense with him on the floor. And I just think with Randle and with DiVincenzo making that work, I think that, you know, you got to give credit to Chris Finch. He's a good coach.
Absolutely. No, he's a good coach. Look, you brought up some stuff there. Look, for one, I couldn't record it because I was further down the hallway, but I'm sure you've probably seen it on social media today. I've seen it a million times. He's walking down the hallway, and it's right behind where the Lakers do their post-game press conferences. He's just in the hallway, Gary, and he says, "Ant-Man, Batman, Spider-Man, Lakers in five," and just starts cackling. Yeah. Like, it's that type of stuff that you don't see with other players in the league. Or if you do, it doesn't feel genuine. And you brought up the point about who he's playing with, like the leadership of it. He's turned Karl Anthony Towns into a winning player last year. He's turned Julius Randle into a winning player this year. And this is something that at 23 years old, you are not supposed to see. We never thought Michael Jordan at 23 years old was the dude who was dropping 63 on the Celtics, but was playing with Granville Waiters and those guys.
Like, he didn't talk about my man Granville.
He got guys like that. It took Mike until he was 25 or so to find it. And people are going to be like, "What have you talking about Michael Jordan?" No, it's just a point of reference. I'm not saying he's him. I'm saying this is how far ahead of the curve in terms of being a leader that Anthony Edwards looks like he is right now. It's like the off-the-court stuff and the on-court stuff is like Two-Face. It's like Harvey Dent one side, Two-Face the other side. It's like the two things don't compute. But Gary is just amazing to me. And I think they'll be favored next round no matter what happens. Golden State had better finish them off Friday, or they're going to have problems. We're going to get to that later.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about the Lakers because I want to give like a 360 view of the Lakers. Gary, their fourth quarters were horrendous. And I want to pull up some numbers for you to illustrate how bad they were in fourth quarters in this series. Gary, they shot under 30% from the field. They shot 23% from three. They were outscored by 8 points every fourth quarter in this five-game series. This is with LeBron is one of the best clutch players. Luka is one of the best closers. Austin Reeves is one of the best third options, the best third option in the league, and all this other type of stuff. And yet, a lot of that was Minnesota, but a lot of that was the fact that the Lakers could not get spacing or familiarity to get any of those guys comfortable. They were worn down, Gary, but they also couldn't get their together.
Yeah, Minnesota was a good defensive team. I mean, they had a bunch of athletes. You got McDaniels and Alexander Walker, those are two plus defenders.
Yep.
In addition to Ant, in addition to Gobert.
Yep.
You could say what you want about Gobert, you can rip him, and I get it. But man, I mean, the dude, what did he go for? 27 and 23 last night?
Like Wilt. That man was Wilt last night,
Gary. He was impactful. And, you know, he doesn't do it as much as I think we all would want him to do it. And he's never going to become a top 10 all-time center. He might be you might say he's number 18 or 23 or something
right,
like that.
Right,
you know,
right.
You want to, you know, you put him up there with, Wes Unseld or Elvin Hayes, or you might go back or something, somebody like that. You know, you might put him in a category of the second or third tier
right.
centers. But for one night, he was the man. And I just think that's a testament to Minnesota's defense. But you know what, man, the Lakers, Luka, you know, and he, I, you know, that back injury got him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, was he in, is he in premium shape? And we could all, I tend not to like talking about world-class athletes because to me, if Luka was in that bad of shape, he wouldn't be able to take a team to the damn finals. Like, do I think he can be in better shape? Yes.
Right, right.
But we don't say that about Jokic, and Jokic ain't got a body that's going to be on the cover of Men's Health either, right? Like, let's be honest. Like, you know, you ain't seeing no muscles bulge out the jersey of Jokic. So it could be a Eastern European thing. It could be a, you know, whatever it is, right? So I tend not to want to blame Luka's physical conditioning. Oh, he doesn't look like a professional. So, but like, you just never know, right? I do think though that could he get in that premium, like, I think Rob Pelinka said today, championship shape. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
LeBron, I try not to be too hard on him because he's 40. Is he slowing down? Was he tired? I mean, can you play him 40 minutes in a playoff game anymore? I'm not sure.
He was gassed. In game four, he was gassed. Gary.
Yeah, I mean, he was. And Redick didn't handle that well. He didn't handle the – and let's be honest, Vinny, I mean – there are tougher media cities than LA. Like, and I'm not ripping LA media, but there's New York, there's Boston, there's cities coaches gotta put their boxing gloves on every time they do a pregame session. You know, there's Philadelphia the coaches are, I mean, the media is gonna be coming at them. And LA ain't really one of those towns in terms of just like, the disparaging questions are like, what the hell are you doing, JJ? Like, what the hell was that? And it seemed like he cracked during this series. He heard so much about pulling a Tibbs and playing his whole starting five all the second half. And I was there that night in Boston when Doc got ejected and Tibbs played the same five the last 18 minutes when he took over his coach when Doc got ejected, and it was like a video game. Like they were at zero. At the end. It was like Tibbs, you know, like, I know they're professional athletes, Tibbs.
But it's other dudes out here. It's other dudes out here who can play.
You got 15 dudes on your roster. Like, it was like, and they lost the game. Remember, they lost the game to Atlanta. And that's the only reference I've ever had for, except today, game four, for a coach playing the same five damn near the whole second half. So I just think the Lakers, I mean, we will never know what happened with the Mark Williams trade.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know, Vinny, maybe you could tell me, what did Dalton Kennett do? He got off to like this first half. He was a weapon. He had a 37-point game. And then, now he's sitting next to Bronny. It was like, what did he do wrong? Like, he's a rookie, but he couldn't have got no minutes.
It's rookie. It's not being able to trust you, not being able to defend. And you wonder if things changed a little bit after that trade was rescinded. You got to come back to that team and figure some things out after they told you, yeah, we wanted somebody else more than you. And as a rookie, that's a level of rejection, Gary, that I'm not sure that as a professional that you're necessarily equipped to handle as soon as you start playing. Now, you bring up the point of like this thing's on two timelines. I will give J.J. Redick, because J.J. Redick's catching a lot of hell. He's caught a lot of hell today. I will say this. That roster was not built for J.J. Redick to be coaching this team this year at a championship level. He was trying to rub two sticks together and make some fire, right? That was built for LeBron and Anthony Davis, and then you got this trade falling into your lap, and you weren't able to really make subsequent moves besides the Dorian Finney-Smith move. You weren't really able to make personnel moves to retrofit your team around LeBron and Luka Doncic, or rather, Luka Doncic and LeBron. Now, when I say that, I mean, Gary, you know this. LeBron had to play a lot more center because they didn't have the size. That's not good for him at his age, where you think of LeBron as being big and strong. These other dudes big and strong, too, and that wears on you. Luka Doncic not being in shape isn't as much as it is. He doesn't defend. I don't know if he can't defend, won't defend, don't defend, ain't defending. And that when you have two minus defenders already, and then you have Austin Reeves, you got to have super defense behind you to really make this work. And they didn't have the guys. Remember, they tried to get Walker Kessler out of Utah. That couldn't happen. They've been sniffing around Miles Turner in Indiana. I don't know if he's necessarily going anywhere. Like, you, I don't know, Gary, if you can build a team that is both built for LeBron James at 41 years old, which he will be on December 30th, and for Luka Doncic, even if he's in really good shape, because even when he's in really good shape, he don't defend unless people start insulting him for 3 or 4 months at a time. I just don't think those two things can match up on the same tracks.
I just think, one, you gotta, I mean, if you want to give Pelinka kudos for picking up the phone for Nico Harrison and trading for Luka Doncic, I guess you can do that. It's not like none of us would have done the same thing.
We're going to turn it down?
Like, Nico here, what is this for one? Oh, hell no. Like, no. Like, we're gonna jump on that. You want one first-round pick. You want off-injured AD. And you want Max Christie, a nice player, but nothing more than a rotational player, basically, who will eventually be a starter and a good player. But you want three guys. And the dude, and one of them is probably in high school right now. Oh, shoot. I mean,
it's easy, right?
So if you want to give Juan Pelinka that credit for pulling off that deal, give him the credit. He deserves that. But you're also building your roster with guys, like I said, you signed Rui Hachimura, who...
I thought he had a good series,
no,
Gary.
I think he's a solid player, but that dude was the 8th overall pick. Like, Washington expected him. Like, you want to know why Washington's terrible now? Hachimura never
panned out
to anything, and they had to get him the hell out of there.
Right.
Like you know, and then Jared Vanderbilt is solid, but he can't score. Like, he's got no offensive game. Gabe Vincent, I didn't see that dude plenty of times drop threes on the Celtics with Miami. That dude was money. That dude was Steph Curry Jr. in Miami. Then he gets to LA, and it's like they don't know where to put him. And it's like all these missing strange pieces of guys. And it's just like, where is the growth? Where are your picks? Where, like, you traded them all. You traded Brandon Ingram. You traded Lonzo Ball. You traded Julius Randle. You traded D'Angelo Russell. I'm not saying that was a bad deal, but like the post-Kobe era, when you were trying to rebuild, you blew that up for LeBron and AD, and then you got Luka, and you just threw him in, and you got no depth. Then you tried to trade for Mark Williams, and you rescind his physical. Then Mark Williams, I'm sure his agent is like, hey, Mark, you need to play. Tell Charlotte you ain't sitting no damn games because we trying to up your value.
Right.
Because you would be out of here soon. So you need. And so what did Mark Williams do? Like, average a double? Like, he played. He hooped in the last couple of months for a Charlotte team trying to get Cooper Flagg. So, and you, I don't know if you saw his social media thing was like, what you want me to do?
Right.
I guess I couldn't help, right? I guess I'm too hurt. Oh, I just had my back surgery. I couldn't have done nothing. Like, so it's, the Lakers are, it's a dysfunctional situation around LeBron. And LeBron now is playing for the end of his career reputation, because as much as we all love Jordan, we all watch Jordan, but then there's Jordan, then there's Jordan in Washington. There's Jordan basically getting in Kwame Brown's head so much he couldn't, you know, he was inept. Taking Courtney Alexander, like there was so, over Jerry Stackhouse, I want to say something like that. Or there was Courtney Alexander with like his fascination, like Jordan the GM. And then Jordan going out there and playing, you know, just putting up numbers and trying to get some sell tickets.
Right.
Okay. So we're looking at that in terms of LeBron, because LeBron won the bubble championship and I was in the bubble and I ain't never going to denigrate the bubble and all that shit that they had to go through, we had to go through in the bubble. So I ain't going, oh, that was just a bubble. I hate when people say that, Vinny. Oh, dude, it didn't matter. It didn't count. No, it counted, because we had to stay on that damn island for 3 months and just, I mean, that was something
different. It was different.
And yeah, different. Like the home court advantage didn't matter, but that's still a chip, right? But since then, it's been a disaster, right? AD hasn't been healthy. LeBron hasn't been healthy. The whole menagerie with LeBron getting this team to draft Bronny. And now I think Bobby Marks or someone just posted, well, Bryce is eligible in 226. So is he going to try to get the Lakers to take Bryce? So I'm like, oh, my God. Are we going to do this again next summer?
Let's hope not. Let's hope not.
What I've been told, but it was the same with Bronny, Bryce ain't no one and done, right? Like, Bryce averaged 8 points a game last year and scored 3 in the state championship game. So, I mean, I'm not nothing against Bryce. He might end up being a solid ball player. He's bigger and he's got more of his dad's traits. But I don't think he's a one and done. But is LeBron going to put his hands on that?
Right.
So what is, like, the question is, Benny, you know, it'd be interesting fashion. What do you think they should do? And how much of a say should LeBron have? Does Rob Pelinka go to LeBron and go, listen, LeBron, like, I'd love to listen to you, but I got to think past you're gone. I can't do the, like, I can't get Russell Westbrook.
I dare you to say that. I dare Rob Pelinka to go to LeBron and say, you know what? I'm going to go listen to Luka now because we got our new star. This is what happens. You lose theoretical leverage. But the question I always have for LeBron is, how much longer do you want to play? Because what are you trying to accomplish? Are you trying to win this mythical argument? Are you trying to accomplish more records? Do you want a fifth title? Like, at some point, your body starts breaking down the way that it's breaking down. Like, when he got bumped by DiVincenzo yesterday.
It looked like he got shot. Yeah.
Right.
Is that Sugar Ray Leonard losing to Oscar De La Hoya? Like, what is, like, or, like, is that what? Like, that's an equivalent of something that we, like, when we cringe. I know our, you know, your dad and I'm sure my dad, when Willie Mays dropped that fly ball in the World Series and he was the greatest outfielder of all time and suddenly he was losing track of the fly balls and he did this, you know, oh, my God. Like, and that was, everybody said that's when Willie was done. And, you know, there's every great athlete. It's just like you cringe at a moment. Is that LeBron's cringe moment when Dante DiVincenzo flattens him and has him on his back over a life?
No, I think those moments where Julius Randle was dipping his shoulder into LeBron's chest and making him buckle. Like, those were the moments where you're looking up and like, oh, LeBron would bump that dude off of him easy. And you ask Gary, what do the Lakers do? Luka's up for an extension on August the 2nd, right? But he's already behind $200 million or $100 million, whatever it was, that he could have signed for in Dallas. LeBron has a player option, I believe, worth $52 million next year, which there's no reason for him to opt out of it unless you want to opt out of it and sign another two-year deal or whatever the case may be just to increase that. Here's the players that they have, and you brought up, Gary, you brought up some of the players. Hachimura makes 18 next year as a valuable trade chip, and then he's an unrestricted free agent in 27. Kleber, who we saw play for the very first time, I don't even know if that man knew the plays. He makes 11. Gabe Vincent, who barely played in the second half of the series, making 11. Jared Vanderbilt, who you just said, have a hard time catching the ball, but is valuable defensively. He's making 11. Like, those are trade pieces in addition to that first one of the first round picks that you have that you can put in a trade, and you're not in second apron territory. They did a really good job of making sure they didn't go into second apron territory. And you have Austin Reeves up for an extension, who I don't believe would actually take it because it would be undervalued. So they have a lot of questions, Gary. It just comes down to what you said. Will they say, go to LeBron and say, LeBron, we want you to come back. We want you to opt out or whatever it is. Can you opt out and take less so we can do more around? Or is it, LeBron, we're moving on from building this thing around you and you solely, because you being at the top of this thing has a limit that we don't know if we can get to in a Western Conference that's getting increasingly more competitive, and none of these dudes are scared of you. Like, that's the thing that I am fascinated by. The circle of life of the NBA is coming. It is here. It ain't just Ant. It's Shea. It would have been Ja if he decided to not do what Ja does. Like, it's still, it's Big Vic. It could be Giannis Antetokounmpo coming to the Western Conference. Like, who knows what's going to happen, Gary? But, you know, we got to take a break real quick. When we come back, we got to talk some Houston and Golden State and Gary's boy, Ime Udoka. Back on A Good Word here with Gary Washburn. Gary, last night, or rather Wednesday night, depending on when you guys are hearing it, Golden State went into Houston. They're like, you know what? We got game six at the crib. We don't feel like playing tonight. And Dylan Brooks went Dylan Brooks on Steph Curry's thumb, to which Steve Kerr was like, man, we can't have people out here doing that. You're going to get somebody hurt. Hey, dog, it's professional sports. If somebody's out there and they got their thumb wrapped up, this is what you do. I'm not saying I go with Dylan Brooks's get down. Like, he seems to be a little extra blatant about it. He ain't subtle with it, Gary. But it would behoove the Golden State Warriors to get this series done with on Friday. You do not want to go back to Houston for a game seven where any damn thing can happen.
Yeah, I mean, I was, for a veteran team, I was extremely disappointed with how they came out. I think they fell behind like 46-24, and it was one of those, like, come on, guys, like, you just gonna give this one away. I mean, you generally don't benefit by giving games away. Like, you just don't, like, it doesn't help you. And maybe, you know, Kerr saw something, and I didn't see a whole bunch of Draymond in game five, and you know, Steph didn't score till the second quarter, I want to say. And, you know, it just was one of those games that Houston played with that desperation and that dog. But I just think if you're the Warriors, you got it. Like, you're right, Vinny. You do not want to go back to Toyota Center for game seven. You do not want to have that environment. And, you know, you've got them where you want them. Like, Houston's going to have to go into a tough environment as a young team and try to grind out a road win under the most dire of circumstances, like with their butts on the line. Can they do that? And I just think Houston's a team, I think, what, I don't want to call them fraudulent, but, you know,
they're a year ahead of schedule.
As a number two seed, they're fraudulent. As a number five or six, they're legit.
Gary, I tried to give you a lifeline. Didn't want the lifeline. You just wanted to take it. Go ahead and say it with your chest.
They are fraudulent second seed. The Oklahoma City's looking at them and going, that's the second best team in the West? Oh, okay. You know,
defense carries you a long way in today's NBA, Gary.
OKC's got to be more scared of Minnesota and Denver and even Golden State. I don't think they have any fear of Houston.
Houston,
they don't have a closer. Jalen Green was on the bench the last minutes of game four, and Fred VanVleet was the one trying to carry him. But they can sneak out a win in San Francisco and bring it on home, and then that becomes anything goes. And at this point, for the Warriors to blow a 3-1 lead in the first round and lose that series, they're right back in the category as the Lakers of, okay, what do we do now? Do we just go ride with Steph and Jimmy and Draymond and bring back the crew, the over the hill crew again, and just try it for a full season and hope it works? And then what do you do with Jonathan Kuminga? Like who knows, what do y'all try to get a tad bit younger? So it would be in the best interest of the Warriors to win game six and then look forward to that series with Minnesota. And host, you know, get ready for game one. Would they host that? No, they'd be on the road.
Minnesota
would have home court advantage. So, to me, it's a huge game for the Warriors, just as much as it is for the Rockets, because I think the Warriors, we all know, this is the last remnants of the dynasty, right? And not even the dynasty. The dynasty kind of ended when, you know, KD towards Achilles and Clay towards ACL. Then they got that one in 22. But the Steph, Draymond, this is the final days. And if there's going to be a lot of questions if they blow a 3-1 lead, and a lot of questions about the future if they can't overcome this and win this series?
Look, it just behooves them to finish this series off because you don't want to have one day's rest. If there's a game seven, I believe it's going to be Sunday, and yes, you go from a game seven on the road to a game one on the road Tuesday.
Yeah.
Like you'd barely have 24 hours of to be able to get the Houston Rockets out of your system before you're going into the scout for the Minnesota Timberwolves, a much different team, a much more, I won't say physical team, because I feel like Houston's mighty physical, but they're just bigger. They're just girthier, so to speak, with Ant-Man and Julius Randle and Rudy Gobert being who he is. Like, I'm not sure. I put it like this, Gary. I'm fascinated by whichever winner comes out of this series of Golden
who
State.
Who do you think
Houston
will win?
I think Golden State closes them out in game six, but I would not be surprised if Golden State laid an egg.
Yeah.
Golden State is good for laying an egg at the crib. They are good for that. Like, we've seen that over the years. And I don't say that as a shot to them, because when you've been at this high stage for so many years, you're bound to throw games here and there that just don't go your way, because you have the sweat equity of knowing that you can steal a game on the back end and you can beat an inexperienced team or whatever. But at some point, time comes for everybody. And if you're an older team, you just have to get over it and get your rest. Game one, if it's Minnesota Golden State, that's Tuesday. So that gives you a couple of days rest to get back home for a day, to rest up, and then get to Minnesota and start figuring out how you're going to attack Anthony Edwards and all those guys. For the Houston Rockets, I want to give them a lot of credit just because they play so damn hard. Gary, when are they going to realize that Amen Thompson is the guy that they need to be building this thing around?
Well, he was my defensive player of the year, and I like him a lot. They don't have, how do I put this? Like, I love Fred VanVleet,
mm-hmm,
and he's your highest paid player,
mm-hmm,
and can be money, but he's your number two guy. Jalen Green is the dude that's got to literally look in the mirror and go, this is,
are we being too hard on him?
No. He ain't no rookie. No. This is his time. Ain't he as old as Ant-Man?
But this is Jalen. Yeah, but he ain't Ant-Man. Like, we know that he's not that guy. And this is his first time in the playoffs, and he's going against Jimmy Butler, Stephen Curry, Draymond Green. This can all be above your head. It's okay to say it's above your head. Right now, you need to go back and get a little bit more experience. I feel like he is an easy target. I'm with you, Gary, on he's not showing up. That the inconsistency is glaring. 38, and then 8, and then 7. You know what I mean? Like, that sort of thing. But I feel like a lot of the criticism and critique of Jalen Green has been a little heavy-handed. Gary, just a little bit.
He's 23. He's in his fourth season. Okay. And that's when that third or fourth season is when people start
when the
having expectations.
When the lights should come on. When the lights should come on.
That's when
people
start having them expectations, right?
Right.
You know, when is it going to happen? His fifth season, his sixth season, like, this is his fourth year. And, yeah, like, it's a little, like, Houston did everything a year early. Like, everybody thought Houston was, you know, they almost made the playoffs last year. They were close. They made a run at the Warriors for that final play-in spot and fell short.
Mm-hmm.
This year they faulted to the number two seed. So, but it's not like he don't have help. I mean, it's not like he don't have Alfred Sengun.
Yeah.
It's not like he doesn't have other guys, VanVleet, Brooks. It's not like he got to put the team on his back, but he's got to average 25 in this series. He's amazing.
He's averaging 14.
Yes. He's an amazing athlete. Offensively, he can give more defensively. I think he's a solid defender when he wants to. But he's got to step up. I mean, he's got to be like, this is my team. Whose team is it? Now, it might be his team until they trade him in the offseason for Giannis, you know. Until,
or KD.
Like, yeah,
somebody.
Exactly. So this could be the final days
or
of
somebody
Jalen
Green in Boston.
Houston, regardless of what happens, this could be the final days, because he'll be that piece that teams ask for.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Ime will say, I can plug and play KD or Giannis for Jalen Green, and then we're a championship team then with all the same pieces. So this could be the final days of Jalen Green, but I think Jalen's got to step up. He's got to be the best MF on the floor. That's what he's got to say to himself, to me.
He can't be the best athlete on the floor because the best athlete in the league is out there. Amen Thompson's the best athlete in the league.
Oh, he's the best athlete in the league. He might not even
be the best athlete in his own family, but he's the best athlete in the league.
Yeah. No, that them twins is special, man. Like,
we ain't gonna have time to talk about it because it's gonna be obsolete. But Asur Thompson is putting Jalen Brunson in jail, I tell you. Handcuffs. Leg weights.
Jalen is foul baiting him. It's a fascinating battle of the foul baiting against being locked down. Because, I mean, I don't know how many fouls
A-Con. A-Con.
Yeah,
locked up. You've been on punishment before. Maybe that's just me and how I grew up. You can't go outside. You sit by the window while everybody's outside playing.
He's sitting on punishment.
You're punishment. You looking out the window. You can smell the fresh air, but you can't
get to. See all your friends playing in the street.
Yeah, and they riding the bike. Then you come outside. No, I can't. Why not?
I do something stupid.
Yeah, that's Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson's on punishment right now. It didn't happen to me often, Gary. I was a good child. Just saying.
Sure you were, Freddie.
I was the good. I'm the middle child. The middle child is always
the best.
Always the best child. It's the one nobody pays attention to. It's not that we don't do stuff. We don't get caught.
Oh God.
When we come back, it's time for the last word because the Phoenix Suns have just made new changes in their front office. It is time for the last word here with Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. Gary, your day job is, of course, covering the Celtics and the NBA at large. I think the Celtics are going to, by and large, walk to the Eastern Conference Finals, no matter who they play, if they play the Pistons or if they play the Knicks. I think they're going to have an easy time getting there. But Jaylen Brown has been hurt. Jrue Holiday has a hamstring. Al Horford is old. Kristaps Porzingis is always a concern. Is this something where last year's road is going to repeat itself, or do you think there are real causes for concern even before you get to the conference finals? Like the Knicks had a hard time with them this year. Do you anticipate that repeating itself if it comes to be?
Yeah, don't think it. They beat the Celtics beat the Knicks all four times, and one of the games was close. And as much as Orlando put the Celtics on lockdown, as we talked about, on the three-point shot, they took 17 fewer three-pointers per game in that series than they did during the regular season. The Knicks can't do anything with the Celtics' three-point shooting, so it should be pop a shot in terms of threes for the Celtics if they were to face the Knicks. I think it will be a tougher series because there will be some adjustments made, and I think Cat and Brunson will will them to one or maybe two wins. You know, the Celtics' health is the biggest concern because Jrue Holiday, as much as he still looks young and he still looks like he's in his 16th year, like this dude is 35. And the thing we understand, Vinny, and you're, you know, obviously a little bit older than that, but these are guys that were your guy. You've known them and covered them many times their whole career. Is when you have Westbrook, KD, LeBron and Steph, the dudes that are a little bit younger, we kind of forget about how old they are.
Right.
We're like, well, you're not as old as like Steph, but Drew's been in the league since 09. Same with Russ, Brooke Lopez. We look at these guys and we're like, you know, damn, like 16 years, not everybody plays that long.
Right. And is that effective?
Yes. And exactly. So, and Drew has never been a guy who's had injuries. So, but when you put a 35-year-old guy with a hamstring issue, that's a concern. And he didn't play the last three games of the Orlando series. In game five, he was listed as out the day before, so it wasn't even a questionable or a probable. So I think this rest and them not playing that game one till Monday is valuable for him to get back on the floor because he does so many intangibles in terms of defense, hitting the key shot, posting up, just being that defensive menace that they need. They need him in the next series. They definitely need him against Cleveland if they were to face the Cavaliers, and definitely against Oklahoma City or whoever they face in the finals if they were to get that far. And Porzingis is a guy who's he's been healthy. I think the Celtics were fortunate in the terms of him missing the first 6 weeks that he was able to get some rest. And there's no wear and tear on Porzingis in terms of this season because he missed the first 6 weeks. So to me, I think he's fine. Tatum's got the wrist. Jaylen Brown with the knee is a concern because I don't know if he'll ever have that athleticism that he had last year because he's going to be fighting that. I think the entire playoffs, you know, will he need a procedure when the season's over?
Right, perhaps. Right.
Or that kind of thing. Will he have to go to Germany and do some Kobe stuff? God bless him in terms of the stuff he did with his knee. But there's going to be probably something after the season that's going to have to happen to that knee. But he's managing. He had 23 in the closeout game. He shot 44% from three in the series. He hit 84% of his three free throws. All the little things that they need Jaylen to do, he's doing. He's rebounding. So he's doing what he needs to do. To me, Minnie, this is Jason Tatum's postseason. Like, no more taking a step back and Jaylen won the finals MVP in the Eastern Conference. Like, Jason's got to put the team on his back and say, I'm better than SGA. I'm better than Ant-Man. I'm carrying us to the promised land. This is me this year. Like, last year, I was more of a distributor. They were putting two on me. This year, I ain't doing all that. I'm taking the ball to the rack. I'm hitting the three. I'm hitting the mid-range. I'm wearing anybody out that they put on me. I don't care who it is, Dylan Brooks, whoever it is. I'm putting it on. It's got to be Tatum's. This is Tatum's time. And in Orlando, he missed one game with the wrist, but he was magnificent in that series. We'll see if that continues. And as I've discussed before, he's playing with more of an edge. Mm-hmm, and I think Tatum with an edge is like, that's what everybody was like, well, what does Tatum need to get to that? Tatum needed more of an edge to get from a top five to a top two or three. Because that's the only thing Tatum needs to accomplish. Like top two or three, like best dude on the floor every night. And he has the capabilities of that. And I think him playing with an edge and playing like, okay, I've been quiet about all these hard fouls. I've been quiet about some of the physicality. I'm not taking this anymore. I think that's a good thing.
Look, if you wind up having to play, and I'm not assuming that the Knicks are going to win. I'm just playing the percentages here.
Yeah, Vinny, don't do that where you are. Don't call the series.
I'm not the least bit concerned, Gary. Guess what? I can walk on any street in Detroit. All right, my hood pass. Always. It never declines.
All never right. Expires.
It's like some people's face cards. It never declines, Gary. All right. Like you said, with Orlando, they had length. You had Paolo Banchero, you had Franz, you had Wendell Carter Jr., who's a really good defender at the point of attack on switching in on screen and rolls. That ain't the case with Karl Anthony Towns. You know what I mean? Like, so it's going to be a better offensive series if it's New York for the Celtics, where Jason Tatum, whether it's Mikal Bridges or OG Anunoby, wear they asses out. Like, I'm 100% with you, especially as we sitting up somewhere talking about Ant-Man being the face of the league. Ant-Man is the guy. Ant-Man is walking through the streets of L.A. and Matilda's my favorite movie, and everybody's embracing that because he has the personality in the game for it. Jason Tatum's probably looking around, what about me? And he could very well have a case for it. But Ant-Man played during the Olympics. Jason Tatum did not.
No.
And nope. I don't have a problem with Steve Kerr making that decision at all. But I also don't have a problem with Jason Tatum feeling a little bit in his feelings about it either. Like, this is where you come to validate all those different things. And you're absolutely right about where the Celtics are. I'm very fascinated at the prospect of a Celtics-Cavs Eastern Conference Finals. Because we don't talk about the Cavs much. And Cavs have been, we have not talked about them nearly enough. We ain't talked about them a whole lot today because they just took care of business and dusted off the last of Heat culture. Now, before we go, Gary, the Philadelphia 76ers, excuse me on that, the Phoenix Suns have made more changes. Because it seems like whenever they do something, something happens, they get swept in the first round, they fire the coach, they change stuff around. They've brought in Brian Gregory as general manager, or I think head president of basketball operations, I believe, now to be, which is pretty much over James Jones, who was holding that position. He's now being demoted to advisor. Now, just tell me what the hell they're doing over there. Because now you got to trade Kevin Durant. You can't trade Bradley Beal. You got to figure out what your future is with Devin Booker. This looks like a dead-end franchise.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a total mess. Like, they you know, they get to the finals with Monty Williams, then Monty wears out his welcome. They bring in Frank Vogel. That don't work. They bring in Budenholzer. I mean, who saw that coming? I mean, saw that. Budenholzer just got fired in Milwaukee. It didn't, I mean, it's just dysfunctional. And if you're Phoenix, like, the whole win now and that cup of noodles way of trying to win where you just pour hot water and want fret. No, man. Like,
I ain't never had no ramen noodles. I had to figure out the hell you was talking about, Gary. Had no ramen noodles.
Yes, you had. Don't
do I that, haven't. Man. I haven't. That, I promise man. I haven't.
You never had no ramen and no cup of noodles in college?
No. I was broke. I just did, that wasn't my broke food of choice. That's all, Gary. Oh, God. Anybody got a broke food of choice?
All right. Anyway.
You went to college in the 90s. That's different. Yeah, that or the late, or is it the 90s or late 80s?
90s. Don't do that, baby. The instant winning ain't working. The big three, you gotta have the right big three. That whole big three BS.
You can't do that anymore.
Remember Dwayne Wade, Sean Marion, and Michael Beasley were a big three? Ooh. Remember that in Miami?
Oh, that was bad.
Remember that big three?
That was bad. It didn't go good.
Like, the big three stuff, like, it's overblown. It's overrated. You got to have the right big three. So you can't throw together Bradley Beal's always hurt. Devin Booker, who sometimes can disappear. And then KD, who plays hoop and it's all he does is ball, but he don't get along with a bunch of guys, different coaches. Like, it just didn't work. And then you trade away DeAndre Ayton. As much as you didn't like him, he was your only productive big man. You know, you don't have a point guard. Like, yep. it's dysfunctional. And Phoenix has just got to start over. And Booker is 28, so he's about to, you know, I think he's 29 this year. So he's still young enough to build around, but you trade KD and you can't do no with Bradley Beal. You can't.
Yeah, it's a dead end.
Who do you hire as a coach? Do you hire another retread?
You hire somebody from Michigan State because that's all they seem to do over exactly. there. You hire Matt Ishbia's homeboys.
Or is it going to be a bright young mind, but you're going to have to give him a couple years? Like, how does that go? Do you hire Mike Malone? Like,
Hell no. He ain't got the patience. We already see he don't get along with front offices. Yeah. You think? Absolutely not.
Who do you hire? I don't know.
I'm fascinated by what they do.
It's a mess, Vinny. It's a mess. Like, I think there's a bunch of other franchises that are glad they're not in Phoenix's predicament.
We'll put it like this. Phoenix and Philadelphia are the two worst run franchises in the league right now. And it's probably not even close. Now, last thing, Gary. Because I haven't gotten, in our various group chats, we have not discussed this much. John Halliburton, I just want to know, what should the NBA do with him? I tend to believe, wink, wink, that he will not be around for or visible for games for the foreseeable future, especially in the second round series for the Pacers against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, but keep a low profile. Like, you too old for that, man. And, you know, for him to run out on the floor and then, you know, he was holding up a
towel, a poster or something. His
son's picture on it. Like, come on, man. You 50-something. Like, you too old for that. Just be a dad in the background. Don't be one of them. Don't be T. Morant. Like, just, we've seen this.
Not all the job people are going to be coming at me because they're like, why you got to talk about y'all all the time? That was Gary that said that. But I'm 100%, saying, like, but I'm 100% with Gary. I'm 100% with you.
We've seen this. Like, chill. Enjoy your son's career. The whole hater. Oh, everybody hate him. Everybody does. Your son is sign the extension. He's an all-star. He was an Olympian. Ain't nobody hating. Like, the whole he's overrated. They had to pick somebody, right? Right. So you're going to take that and run with it, and you're going to get in Giannis's face? Like, that's not the dude to mess with. And especially after they blew a seven-point lead with 40 seconds left. Like, just show some respect. And this is like, you, I mean, it's hard for me to jump on these youngsters about maturity and professionalism when somebody daddy acting like this. I can't, like, it was like when Chris Rock had to explain rap music. It was like, all that rap, I can't defend it all. Like, you know, like, some, you play some of it, and I'm going to just be, like, cringing. Like, I can't defend the 50-plus folks. I can't.
Like, look, it's bad.
Bro, you on suspension, punishment, like, all of the above.
Daddy, go to your room. That's what that is.
You making the old schoolers look bad right now, bro. Just get a box. In a luxury box and just sit up in there. Don't be behind the basket yelling, no, man, no.
All in the videos.
Where should Knight at, man? I'm like, no.
I think, Gary,
you
they're going.
You ain't P. Diddy. This ain't not 1990. You ain't with.
Hey, you can't say that name considering he's about to go on trial. Gary, you try to get me in all. You done brought up P. Diddy.
I'm not trying to get you in trouble.
You done brought up.
I'm talking about the 90s. I ain't
talking
about now. You
brought up T. Morant. You trying to get Isaiah Thomas on my ass. You just want everybody to be. You want me to be out here like. You want everybody to have my phone number like I'm Shedeur Sanders. Yeah. That's what you want. You want everybody coming at me, texting me, talking about, why are you talking about my people like that? That's Gary Washburn, y'all.
That's a new reference when you get prank calls.
I got Shedeur. That's what it is.
You got Shedeur.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is my man, Gary Washburn. Check Gary out at the Boston Globe. G.I., appreciate you, man. You know we're going to see each other down the playoff road. Appreciate you, bro.
Always enjoy the game. Enjoy the game. It should be Detroit's finest. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be a blast. Thanks to Gary for joining us again today. Thanks to Dakota and all the team at Yahoo Sports who helped put this podcast together. I'll be back on Monday. I don't know where I'll be. Somewhere out west. Probably Minnesota. We'll see for another episode of The Good Word. Until then, everybody be safe.